Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
And we are joined now by the Hall of Famer and a multi-time MVP. Cal Ripken Jr. is with us. And, Danny, this is going to be Cal's highest tech broadcast he's ever done. I've got him with one earbud in.
Oh, man.
The other earbud. We're just kind of shoulder to shoulder here. He's done TBS, and he's been all over the world doing this. I said, this will be your highest tech broadcast.
It reminds me when Billy and I had a show with XM Sirius in the early days, and we had to carry that on the road with us. We're going back in time. We're plugging back in.
That's right. So Cal and I both one ear in, but this way at least, Danny, you'll get to participate. I didn't want to hog Cal, and it's too rare that we get the Hall of Famer on the show.
I know.
So I wanted you to be able to be part of the broadcast,
which
here.
I certainly appreciate. But Cal, when you and Billy were doing the show, did Billy have to hold the mic too? Is it the same?
No. We had two inputs for the mic.
Wow. Yeah.
Very high tech. I told him, I said, I came here for a broadcast for one, but the two of us will make it work. But we appreciate you, Cal, joining us. I know it's a big night. I'm honored to be a very, very small part of this and to get to introduce some of the dignitaries this evening. But tell people, we're out in Annapolis. It's the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation. This event, just reading up about it the last couple of days, is really incredible. How long have you been doing it, and what are we in store for this evening?
Well, I mean, our foundation started when just shortly after Dad died, and that was he died in 98, I believe. I guess our foundation has celebrated over 20 years in general, but this event here probably around 12 or 13 years, started out as a smaller fundraiser, trying to tap into the Annapolis area and some of the DC area. And, it's just grown each and every year. People look forward to it. So it's going to be a wonderful night. David Rubenstein's going to play your role. He's going to take the mic and entertain us all, I think. But it's just everyone comes together. We have a good time. Brady Anderson usually comes back for this one. Eddie usually comes back. So we'll be well represented from the Orioles standpoint, that's for sure.
How many people said no before you asked Grant?
How many people said?
I heard that was number 8.
John Maroon was tasked with that, and I think he came up with Grant's name pretty fast.
That's awesome.
I think he was up on the high list.
Well, I'm fired up. It's going to be very, very fun. Cal Ripken Jr. is with us. A lot of things to cover with you, but I wanted to ask you about the news in Major League Baseball this week that we're going to get the challenge system implemented next year. Two challenges per team for balls and strikes. Where do you come down on electronic strike zone?
When we first started our youth baseball academies and our tournaments, if we would have had the money, I would have made it all ABS. The only complaints we get from the experience, the Ripken experience from the parents is that the umpires. And the umpires do a good job, overall. And I think I'm for the system. And I guess the choice was to either do it in a challenge system sort of way or actually do it all the time or use the technology where it corrects things. Because I really believe that a whole game can swing on one pitch. You know, it's a 2-1 count, base is loaded, and the slider is going to be down and away, and they get the call, it's 2-2 as opposed to 3-1 with the hottest hitter at the plate. It changes the opportunity. And I think tennis does a good job, football does a good job with the technology, and we have that here. I guess the question is two challenges enough? How is that going to work? So there's going to be a little bit of a learning period and a tweaking period, and who knows, maybe it goes to all ABS at some point, but I like the idea.
What have you made just generally of the changes to baseball really over the last half decade where it's I don't want to say it's a different game now because you stood still 60 feet, 6 inches, et cetera, but it feels different, certainly, everything from wild card to some of the rule changes.
Well, I mean, I like the addition of the playoff teams. It seems 162, you play really hard. And in the old days, you had to win the division to actually make the playoffs. Then the wild cards came, and then now there's a few more opportunities, which makes the month of September really interesting. And many times it comes down to one game, which I think is really, really exciting. The other rule changes, I told the commissioner that I think the clock belonged in basketball, and then I had to tell him that I was wrong, because the clock has really shaped the behavior and the pace of the game. And it's really interesting. You didn't realize that it had gotten so slow, and that's what was going on. It just needed to be enforced, because there was always a rule that you had to throw a pitch within a certain amount of time. But now with the clock up there, they can enforce it. And I think Harold Reynolds told me he actually took out the stopwatch in the 83 World Series and see if we complied to the rules right now. And he said we were all within that time frame all the time. So I think the pace of play was that way years ago, and then it got out of hand. So I think the clock has done a good job. I didn't like the bigger bases or the two step-offs or disengagements. But I think there's a strategy involved in that, and that's kind of got the running game going a little bit more now, which I think is pretty interesting. I still don't like the putting a runner on second base, because, again, with the playoffs go down to one game, you didn't earn your way to second base in the extra innings. And you could get a broken bat, jam job to second base, move the runner over, medium fly ball to center field, close play at the plate, runner scores, you bring the closer in, they close out the game, and somebody wins without earning that run. So I still don't like that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Cal Ripken Jr., the Hall of Famer, with us on Grant and Danny. So I've said this many times on the air, and I'm not just saying this because we're shoulder-to-shoulder sharing earbuds right now, Cal. But
I got my arm around you, too.
We're getting close. I appreciate you grinning and bearing it. But the reason I'm the baseball fan I am to this day is your streak in 96, 95, in that era, and then the 98 home run chase. Those two things in my childhood made me the Major League Baseball fan that I am. And we just celebrated, like, I now feel really old.
Yeah.
But we just celebrated 30 years at Camden Yards, was able to go out during those final couple of days as we're counting down and see everybody getting ready to throw the party for you. But 30 years ago, it was 21-31 with the big numbers on the warehouse. Can you believe, A, that it's already been 30 years? And then what was that celebration like for you getting to go back to Camden to look back at those days?
So I can't believe it's 30 years. In many ways, it seems like it was yesterday. Your memory is pretty clear on what happened that night. And it's kind of interesting all together. I've never really been one, to celebrate the anniversaries or kind of, because the accomplishment happened at a certain time. Nothing's changed. It's just time has gone by. And so, although this time the Orioles were really gung-ho about doing it, I was unsure how that was going to come off. Even the Bobby Bowe and Rafael Palmeiro pushing me down the line a little bit, which was a good idea. But it was really well received. A lot of energy in the ballpark that night. It was the Dodgers. We had a sellout crowd. It really was a nice trip down memory lane, I think, from behind to get a walk-off. So somebody was looking out for us that night.
The way the game is now, it's such a power game. There's no Maddux, there's no Tom Glavine, there's no Dennis Martinez with like 17 different pitches. It feels like if you don't throw 100, you can't even get noticed. And then at home plate, it's can you move a runner? No one cares about that. Your true outcomes. What have you made kind of that evolution? And how would some of the greats like you fit in today?
Well, how do I answer this question? I see signs of that being valued again. Mm. I see signs of the small ball and moving a runner over and getting a productive out and not striking out with a guy on third and less than two out. You see signs of the old type play coming back, because in the end, in order to execute against the very best pitchers in the league, and usually it comes out of the playoffs, then you'll start to see a butt. But it's still valuable during the course of the season. So I like the idea of putting, you know, hit and run. I saw a delayed steal this year. I saw a hit and run attempt, one or two in the season, and you haven't seen that. And
like seeing old friends.
And as far as the power pitching, you know, the analytics favor the swing and the miss.
Right.
And then there's a lot of people that throw hard. Now people are training to throw hard, but then the injury factor is coming into play. The Orioles got killed with the injuries, you know, and that really hurt our season early this year. So I see in the future, you know, a value of a pitcher being able to get somebody out multiple times, you know, and not just go, you know, all out for 100 pitches and then let's bring in the next live arm. You want to see somebody extended in the game, and you want to see somebody, you know, have the craft of pitching. I was talking to Mike Messina about that the other day. Mike had a pretty good power arm himself at times. He could throw the ball past you. But the beauty of Mike Messina, like Maddox and Glavin and those guys, you know, when they didn't have their super stuff, they could figure out how to get the hitters out, and all of a sudden they're in the eighth inning of a game and you got a lead. So I see that coming back, and I see some signs around the league where some teams are valuing that. And I wouldn't be surprised in the next couple of years you start to see, you know, the control-type pitcher or the pitcher that has 16 pitches come back into the game a little bit more.
You know what no one ever mentions about Cal Ripken Jr.'s 26-32 games played in a row is the game you actually missed when Ryan Minor, and it was just kind of without fanfare, he just kind of takes third base and plays, was actually a day of a doubleheader, if memory serves. So you played in a game that day. Isn't that right?
That's not how I remember it.
No?
I think it was a night game. It was the last game of the season at home against the Yankees. So ESPN had the game. I believe Chris Berman had it. It was just one game. So I came in at 5 till 7 or 10 till 7.
How did it go? Did you make the call?
I told the manager, I said, tonight's the night. You know, because I didn't want to have to deal with all the hoopla before the game and not put that on the team. I thought we can do it after the game. And I didn't want it to be announced. You know, I wanted it just to play out sort of naturally. So when Ryan Minor was supposed to take the field, they went to him and said, you're going to play in third tonight. First of all, he didn't believe it. He thought it was some sort of
prank.
What
a prank, yeah.
And I had to go up to
very
him.
Funny.
And I had to go up to him and say, Ryan, you know, you're playing. You know, go, you run, take the field. And then the cool part about that was, and I looked at the Yankee dugout, and they realized, you know, what was happening. And then all of them got on the top step of the dugout and gave me sort of a standing ovation. Oh, wow. And I was wondering, you know, why did they get it so quickly? But then I remember that Joe Torre, or whoever took the line, got the lineup card, they must have seen it, the lineup card at the time. So they went back before we took the field and probably said, hey, this is they probably planned for it a little bit. But the whole stadium then started to unfold, and then it became a positive memory, a positive interaction. I didn't know what to do. I mean, I was in the dugout. I went to the clubhouse one time. Eric Davis told me he'd come sit next to him and put some, you know, turf shoes on, you know, because he knows how to sit on the bench. I went out to the bullpen because I wondered, what do those guys do out there for the whole game? And I went out there and sat out there for a while. But it turned out to be a celebration of the 26-32 as opposed to ending for some other reason.
Yeah, and it was hilarious on the telecast. I remember watching in my dorm room, like, they were gently, and it was all in good fun, but making fun of you because you clearly didn't know what to do.
No, I mean, when you're in something for so long, and then all of a sudden you feel like you're on the outside looking in, and I didn't like that feeling at all.
Yeah.
I'd much rather be in the game.
You are busy now. I mean, we were just talking about it before you came on, but you had the wedding within the family. You went to the Ravens game a couple nights ago in prime time. You were at Northwest Stadium for the opener. Seems like you have a lot on the calendar. You're not really doing the retirement thing very much.
Oh, I thought I was moving towards retirement. We sold our last minor league team, and we sold the majority interest in our kids' business. Now we're expanding. We have a smaller piece of a much bigger pie. We're expanding really quickly, but I don't have the day-to-day responsibility for that. And so I thought, yeah, this is kind of cool. I'll edge towards retirement. Then the Orioles opportunity came up. David Rubenstein called me and asked me to join the group, and I, you know, was ecstatic about that. And I'm starting to get pulled back in baseball-wise, which I want to be able to help, but I tell them I'm not looking for a job. You know, I enjoy being around this group of players, very talented players, young. And and I can help them in some ways, and I'm enjoying that too. So it seems like in our social calendar's filling up quite a bit. So it seems like there's a lot of stuff going on.
Well, tonight is quite a cool thing. Again, here in Annapolis, Ripken's Uncorked for the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation. I'll be lucky enough to MC this event. I got to say, Danny, one of the first people I ever got to interview when I was a young guy, when I was 10 years old, one of the first things I was ever credentialed for, I don't know why, but the Orioles inexplicably allowed me to come as a little 10-year-old on opening day and to interview my hero, Cal Ripken Jr. And that day, my first couple interviews were like Will Clark, who was not very nice, by the way. I mean, he is a good guy, but like he did not enjoy the fact that a 10-year-old was interviewing him on opening day. And then I talked to Albert Bell. So like those were my first two people.
Like, man, this
and then
is tough.
Cal Ripken Jr., and he could not have been more awesome and great. And I was like, all right, this is going to be okay. But yeah, it was, you were like hitting third in that order. And right in front of the dugout there, I've still got the picture. You couldn't have been better.
You made me think of a few things. So Will must not have been hitting very well because he usually was a pretty jovial, outspoken guy. Albert, everybody thought Albert was a bad teammate, you know, and they were talking about him, but I thought he was a great teammate. But he didn't have much patience for the media, so I could see him, you know, especially if you sat in his chair in the locker room, you might have been scared away from.
He was not a small guy either.
No, he's a big guy, intimidating guy. But that was a good time. I mean, I had a chance to play with those guys and get a chance to feel who they were as people, and I really enjoyed that. So I feel for you a little bit where you dealt with rejection or unkindness, maybe.
No, I wouldn't even say that. It was just, as I now look back as an actual professional 37-year-old doing this, like when a kid's in the clubhouse, people are kind of like, what is going on? And I didn't know the difference. I'm just walking up trying to, like, I'm Tim Kirkjian, you know, trying to break down baseball, and they're like, this is really weird.
Well, I mean, it worked because look where you are.
I guess if you act as if, right, if you pretend enough.
That's
but
great.
No, this
mantra, yeah.
That's right. If we get a chance to chop it up with Cal Ripken Jr. in Annapolis, we do that. Thank you again for joining us on our video chat here, and I'm looking forward to tonight. Should be a blast.
Appreciate you, Cal.
We're looking forward to it. Thank you so much.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.